Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning's meditation is based upon the lesson which was just read with a special emphasis on verse 11, which says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another." This is our text. It is indeed an exciting time for many of us. We have hit that two-minute warning, so to speak, towards the end of the year. We're in our final last 2 weeks, and I know that for many of us, our thoughts are somewhere else in the country. Many of us have even taken time from our classes to go out and visit some of the congregations that have called us or have given us placements. I guess it's kind of natural to try and meet the people who are going to affect your lives next year, or maybe even the years down the road. I guess the phone calls and the pictures that are sent to you just don't quite fill the bill anymore at this time of the year. And if you're anything like me, you probably just can't wait to get started. Yes, this is an exciting time, it's a challenging time, and it's a time filled with great anticipation. Yet before I lose all of you while you're daydreaming about your vicarage placements or your calling congregations, I'd like for you to focus with me for a few minutes upon your seminary training. You see, it's about time that we start using that training, or it will soon be time that we put that training into action. And for many of us, our seminary training is coming to a completion, but we await a more thorough training ahead. While on the other hand, some of us are just beginning our seminary training, and I guess it really doesn't matter which side of the spectrum you fall on, our lesson today addresses both sides. My wife is quite fond of telling me exactly how my seminary training has affected me. We usually discuss the seminary training after church services on Sunday mornings, either on the drive home or at home, when we take time out to discuss what was prepared for us in the sermons. Unfortunately, the discussions usually turn out to be lectures on my part, as I try to explain to my wife what exactly was wrong with the sermon we just heard. Either it's too long or it's too short, had too much law or not enough gospel, too many illustrations, maybe it was just simply too boring. Or my favorite comment, I would have said it this way. My wife patiently listens to all that, and then she remarks with that kind of honesty that makes simplicity very beautiful, "Honey, the seminary has really turned you into a critic." My friends, I'm afraid it's not the seminary that's turned me into the critic. I'm afraid it's my pride. You see, I've gone out to work as hard as I could here. I've done everything I could to gain knowledge. I've tried to do my work as promptly as possible, not always succeeding. And then I've tried to gain as much theological knowledge so that I can take that to the congregation wherever the Lord may send me. But somewhere along the line, all that hard work, all the effort on my part, has gone to my head. I've become headstrong. Instead of going out and trying to love my people, I go out to correct them. I feel the need to show them what is right according to the Gospel of David. Now, having worked in the commons for a few years, I think it's very safe to say that as I've listened to your conversations and joined in on your conversations, I'm not the only one who has this problem with selfish pride. See, pride affects us all. And unfortunately, it affects how we deal with people. Because of our pride, we are tempted to go out and play God, especially when the theological issues come aboard. Yet in our text today, St. John tells us that we are to love one another, not go out and chastise or rebuke or correct when somebody doesn't see everything eye to eye with us. My friends, take a few minutes out and think about how God has placed his action toward us. You see, it was not out of his pride that he went out to save us. It's not because we loved him that somehow he had to turn around and do us a big favor and save us. No, because of sin, we deserted God. And we deserved eternal punishment. Yet our God knows full well that we cannot bear up this punishment. So he took it upon himself to spare us from this eternal punishment. Oh yes, God does rebuke us and God does correct us. But when it comes to salvation, that he has done for us out of the loving sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. See, God showed the whole world, including you and me, he showed the world his love by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to be the propitiation for all of our sins. All of that wrath that we deserved because of our sins, including our sins of pride and our sins of lack of love, all of those sins deserved God's eternal wrath. But Jesus, on the cross, took them upon himself. And on that cross, he took our sins and appeased our Heavenly Father, dispersing his eternal wrath, his righteous wrath. Therefore, on account of this great act of love by Christ, when our Heavenly Father now looks at us, he declares us righteous in his sight. St. Paul takes this loving sacrifice a step further by telling us what Christ had to actually go through to perform this loving sacrifice. He said, Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. Yes, even death on a cross. This is the sacrifice that your God has made for you. And Jesus, in the discourse of the true vine, put it this way: greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's exactly what he did. He laid down his life for the world, for you, and for me. Now, what is our response to this great love? Well, in the first place, we do indeed have a need for repentance. If we're honest with ourselves, we must admit that we have not always loved one another as we should have. But in our scripture reading, we're reminded that even our sins of selfish pride and even our sins of lack of love have been forgiven, have been taken care of by Christ on the cross. And so now St. John tells us that we are to go out and love as God has loved us. And we are to do that in order to make a testimony or a witness of what God's love is really all about. You see, God desires that his love is to be spread throughout the world, be spread to the nations. And by our loving one another, we perform that testimony in our little part. To this end, the Holy Spirit continues to equip us with the means necessary to go out and love one another. My friends, as you continue in the Word and sacraments, you are continually united with that saving love of Christ, and therefore, you will have the same attitude as Christ Jesus had when he humbled himself. See, Christ's sacrifice is not just a great example for us to follow. Oh, it is an example for us, but it's so much more. Christ's sacrifice is the very power. In fact, it's the only power in which we are enabled to love one another as God has loved us. We need to be connected with Christ. We need to be connected with his body and blood in order to avoid the temptations of this world. In order to put our pride aside, we need to be reminded by the words of Holy Scripture of just what God has done for us and how he now sees us because of what Christ Jesus has done for us. Furthermore, we need to daily remember our baptisms, because in our remembrance of our baptisms, we are reminded that we have been connected with Jesus Christ, with his death and with his resurrection. And now that death and that resurrection have benefit for our lives here and now. It is the basis of our hope. We are in an exciting time as we think about the vicarage placements and the call opportunities to go out as new pastors. We are reminded this morning by St. John that we ought to love as God has loved us. Well, I imagine there might be a time or two when correction or rebuking is necessary in the congregation. But we must remember that we should deal with these people just as God has dealt with us in Christ Jesus. Yes, God does rebuke us. Yes, God does correct us. But because we are in Christ Jesus, he does it out of his great love. He does it for the strengthening of our faith. May God grant unto us the strength to continue in this type of love that he has called us to through Jesus Christ, his Son. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.